This is Red Ice Radio. From the visible to the obscure. RedIceCreations.com.
Welcome back. This is Red Ice Radio. We're glad to have you with us today, wherever you are around the world. My name is Henrik, and we are going to continue to discuss politically incorrect issues and taboo subjects together with Henry Macau, who is with us for the second program in our series on Zionism and multiculturalism. We started up with Adrian Salbucci, and you'll be able to hear the whole series on our website, RedIceCreations.com. Henry Macau is the author of Cruel Hoax, Feminism and the New World Order, also Illuminati, the cult that hijacked the world. He's written extensively on his website, henrymacau.com, about many different politically incorrect issues, from feminism and the satanic bankers to free speech, Zionism, and much more. Welcome back to Red Ice Radio, Henry Macau. Great to have you with us again. How are you today, Henry?
I'm fine, Henrik.
By the way, Henry, I wanted to ask you a little bit about how things turned out with the Human Rights Commission over in Canada. Last time we had you with us, we talked briefly about this, and I think there was a court case involved, and you were doing some of the things, you know, in terms of the court business over there. How did that turn out, Henry?
Well, they lost another case, the Lemire case. Lemire's lawyer was my lawyer, and she's very good. Her name is Barbara Kalowska, and she won that case, and now the Canadian Jewish Congress has to appeal it to the Supreme Court, which may take 5 years or more. And she asked that my case be stayed until the outcome of that appeal is heard. So nothing's happening in terms of the Jewish Congress persecution of me, happily. Also, I understand the Canadian Jewish Congress is being reorganized, so I'm not even sure if they'll pursue it.
Well, there you go. Okay, well, that's the slow process of bureaucracy, I guess, and the legal system. It can take 5, 10, or even longer in some cases to sort, you know, anything out. But that's positive, I guess, from your point of view, right?
Yes, certainly. Yeah. And you know, it's kind of an example of how this kind of persecution has a negative effect from the point of view of the Canadian Jewish Congress, because it's because they launched that case that I decided to put my work out in book form, because books can't be censored while the internet can. Mm-hmm. And it's so I can thank the Canadian Jewish Congress that I have. I now have two best-selling books based on my material.
Uh-huh. Well, there you go. Okay. Well, that's a positive sign of, if anything. You know, obviously, this is for those listeners out there who don't know what this was about. You can always go back in our archive and listen. But basically, about you know, clinching down on free speech and connecting it with these hate laws and all kinds of ridiculous stuff.
The Canadian Jewish Congress wanted to prevent me from ever using the word Jew.
Really? No.
They essentially wanted me to take down every reference I'd made to Jews, Zionism, anything pertaining to their agenda.
So they're touchy about this, obviously, as well. And how come you can't use you know, a word like Jew yourself when you are of Jewish descent, Henry? That's kind of ridiculous, isn't it?
Yes, but this is, I don't have to tell you and your listeners that this is typical, that their colonization of the world begins with the colonization of our minds.
Yeah.
And so they can't allow anything to interfere with that process of brainwashing.
That is correct. And We are obviously going to put Zionism into the focus here today of our discussion, Henry, and get deeper into some of it. We want to hear from your point of view on how you view this, you know, political, you know, ideology, and maybe connecting it with some of the other ideas out there as well. We can see if we can connect multiculturalism into this as well. But how long have you been studying, you know, Zionism, Henry? Was this pretty early on in your process when you began writing and looking into, you know, alternative history and so forth? Did you stumble into the Zionist field pretty quickly on there, or how did that happen for you,
Henry? Actually, my credentials, I think, are excellent. I used to be a Zionist, and I tried to immigrate to Israel, which they call Make Aliyah, back in 1972. And I actually intended to become an Israeli.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived in Israel from roughly the summer of 72, the summer of 73, left a few months before the October War. And I used to be a Zionist, and I left, but we can talk about the reasons I didn't become an Israeli. But for 20 or even 30 years after that, I still considered myself a Zionist.
Mm-hmm.
I actually used to go to sleep with this comforting vision of me with a submachine gun shooting down Palestinians who were attacking my kibbutz. That's what kind of Zionist I used to be. I think my credentials are impeccable.
Let us know a little bit, Henry. What happened then? What made you turn away from this ideology and hatred, if you will, in that sense?
These Palestinians were attacking my kibbutz. So I was the valiant Zionist defender. What made me turn around? Well, I started doing some research and some reading, and finally saw Zionism in its, what I consider its true light. And so, as you can imagine, I've done a 180 degree switch, where I now believe that Israel is basically a hoax, and Zionism is a hoax being perpetrated on the Jewish people.
Hmm.
And I don't know where to begin, but it's essentially one of the many instruments that the international banking cartel uses. You could say that Israel itself is their private army, their private secret service, and their private nuclear arsenal. And Zionists throughout the world are their foot soldiers. And the real purpose of Zionism is to advance the agenda of this international banking cartel, which is a world tyranny. And Jews, therefore, are being compromised, because they're obviously going to be seen as agents of, or certainly Zionist Jews are going to be seen as agents of this secret agenda, which they don't understand.
Hmm.
So, I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting point of view. So you're saying, Henry, that many of the Jews out there are being used for this purpose. Is that to, if you will, also then attract the attention of all the other people out there to kind of turn their eyes towards many of the Jewish people who are, you know, Zionists?
Well, the problem is that they're so effective that that opposition to Zionism is equated with race hate, and so there isn't a lot of although they do sponsor, they always seem to sponsor both sides of an argument, so they do sponsor a large anti-Zionist lobby as well, and that's the way they keep their Zionists under control. But could you repeat your question, Henrik?
Well, I guess it would be more if Jews around the world who are identify with the Zionist cause, if you will, if they're being used then for this purpose of attracting the attention of all the other people out there. If I put it in another way, a lot of people out there who are looking into the latest economic collapse or depression or this total debacle that has happened with the banking system, they see that a lot of Jewish people are the bankers, if you will. They see that this must be a Zionist plot, if you will. But is it, from your point of view, fair to say then that this is the point of it, if I put it that way? This is to get people to focus on the Jewish bankers and kind of focus their anger towards them. Do you think that that's the case?
Well, you know, we have to think in terms of the structure of a secret society. Judaism is a secret society. The structure of a secret society is that the foot soldiers, the rank and file, are not told the agenda. They're rather given idealistic platitudes in order to manipulate them into advancing this agenda, but they don't know what the agenda is. And many of them, if they did know what the agenda was, might object to it. And that's the story with the Jews. And then they created a kind of Judaism for Gentiles in terms of Freemasonry.
Mm-hmm.
And so the power of these Kabbalist Jews is magnified many times because they've basically taken over, as far as I can tell, most Gentile institutions, nations, religions, through Freemasonry. The majority of Freemasons aren't Jews. So essentially they've co-opted the whole non-Jewish world as well, as far as I can tell. And only people who are really corrupt and evil are allowed to know the true agenda, because it is very evil. Meanwhile, we're all under this kind of control.
Can you share with us a little bit more in terms of the connection between Freemasonry and Zionism? I've heard this argued a little bit back and forth and different opinions on this, but I definitely see that some of the Jewish theology is incorporated into Freemasonry. Some of the names and we have some of the mythological stories or religious stories that are incorporated into Freemasonry as well. Does it end there, do you think, Henry, or does it continue in terms of ideology, meaning that is a Freemason, if you will, do you believe
totally continues. This New World Order is Kabbalistic, it's Freemasonic. The common element between Zionism and Freemasonry is that Zionism is a Masonic organization. It was always Masonic. Mm-hmm. All its members were Masonic, were Masons, and all its leaders were Masons, and all the Prime Minister of Israel were Masons. And similarly, all the leaders of communism were Freemasons. Communism is another Masonic organization. And what they both have in common, or what all three of them have in common, apart from all being Freemasons, is the Kabbalah, which is the secret teachings of Judaism, which 98% of the Jews have never even heard of, let alone read. And the Kabbalah seems to be the secret doctrine that governs the world now, through these instruments.
So the question here is how we are supposed to understand this ideology of Zionism and be able to come to a proper conclusion about the philosophy if we're not allowed to examine it or talk about it or meaning again we're connecting it this with hate, with the hate speech laws and things like this, that we're it's frowned upon, if I put it that way, to talk about these things, Henry. So where does that leave us if they go to the full extent of being able to ban this, and whoever talks about this or trying to air out some of the ideas in order to understand it, will we succumb to the control of the Zionist branch, or where do you see this going, Henry?
Well, we don't have to accept their terms of reference. We're actually falling into their program if we make the mistake of blaming Jews for this, because it isn't exclusively Jewish, as I've made it clear. Freemasons come from all races and religions, right?
Yep.
So we simply have to reject their terms of reference and be very careful in our terminology and as I try to be, and always try to identify the Masonic Jews and the Freemasons and the Illuminati bankers, which are Masonic bankers. So as long as we don't make the mistake of generalizing, because the majority of Jews are no more guilty than the majority of anybody else, they're basically being manipulated. And they don't know what the agenda is, vast number of Jews really have no participation in the Jewish community either. And so as long as we keep our terminology correct, we won't fall into their trap. But when the so-called anti-Semites try to make a case that all Jews, by virtue of their birth, are somehow part of this agenda, well, then the anti-Semites are actually helping the Kabbalist bankers, because the Kabbalist bankers want to use the Jewish people as a kind of human shield.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the Kabbalist bankers, I believe, actually sponsor anti-Semitism and sponsor this conflation of their agenda with all Jews in order to protect themselves and to change the subject from one of political and economic tyranny to one of race hate, which is it's a really disingenuous, and I think we have to reject their strategy and just go ahead and call a spade fearlessly.
Do you think that there is any racial favoritism within the Jewish community? I mean, if we think about the, let's say, entertainment industry, primarily Hollywood, or if we think about the banking industry, is there a kind of, we can't really call it nepotism then, but do you think that there is a favoritism in terms of race among the Jews?
Well, it's just, you see it transferred to Freemasonry. Freemasons will hire their own, right?
Yep.
And that's Freemasons are basically, Judaism for non-Jews, right? So they basically, it's a club. It's a club. It's a conspiracy, but a lot of Jews are just not aware of it. Like, I might get hired for a job, or I might get a scholarship or something because I'm Jewish. But they'll never let on that that's why I was hired.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then there's a kind of assumption that you've been properly indoctrinated, and you will promote the agenda. And so, for example, in my case, when I started to criticize the agenda, I was rudely removed from my part-time teaching job. So it's tacit, it's unspoken.
I see. It obviously, again, then it only works up to a certain point. But again, then, what do you think is the root of that? Are we talking about a kind of cultural programming, or do you think that this is there anything to the theology or the religion behind this? Meaning that, from a biblical point of view, we are talking about the chosen people, right? Do you think that that has anything to do with it?
Yeah, I think that that ideology drives the secret leadership. I think the vision you see in Isaiah 55:65, for example, where the whole world will serve the Jews, will bring the Jews the wealth and will bow down and so on and so on. That drives the Kabbalist bankers, because they're the only ones, they're the ones who are really going to be served. The other Jews, the Jews that are useful to them might benefit, but the Jews who are not won't benefit. Anyway, so I think that drives the secret leadership of the New World Order, that kind of theology or ideology. As for culturally, the instinctive desire of most Jews historically, certainly in the modern period, has been to assimilate. And that's the way I see myself. I've always seen myself as an assimilated Jew. And by that, I mean I put the interests of the human race first, my countrymen second, and my fellow Jews third,
right,
in terms of priority. So I'm an assimilated Jew. And I think that's the natural instinct of the majority of Jews. Unfortunately, these Jews are not very courageous and they don't speak out. And meanwhile, other Jews are willing to advance the New World Order agenda. You know, they're the ones that whose careers are advanced because they're given positions of power and authority. But it's not just Jews, it's Freemasons as well. And so it's essentially that's the nature of the conspiracy.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's different, classes, if I can put it that way, of Jewish people, or different races, I guess, within the Jewish community as well. We have the Ashkenazi, we have the Sephardic, and then there's even the Ethiopian Beta Israelites and things like that as well. Do you think that there's any hierarchy or rank in terms of those little subgroups as well, Henry?
Well, you know, just to make something clear, I'm an assimilated Jew. I don't think I have any Jewish friends. My family's Jewish. I guess that's the extent of my contact with Jews. My brother and sister, my father, and my son. And my wife. I just happened that way. I don't seek out Jewish social life, and they don't seek me out, maybe for obvious reasons now. And so, but I know from experience and from reading that there is a kind of hierarchy where the German Jews consider themselves the most advanced Jews, and they look down their nose at Polish Jews who look down their nose at Russian Jews and so on. There is a lot of fragmentation. It's not a cohesive community internally, as far as I can tell, but it does seem to have been properly trauma brainwashed to think that the whole world is against them for no reason whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beyond their comprehension to realize that actually there's a very good reason which they don't want to consider naturally.
Then there is another group as well, and I recently in another program stumbled over the term Tsianim. Do you know anything about that, Henry?
Well, yeah, because the Jews have been trying to brainwash into thinking the whole world's against them, and that Israel somehow represents their savior and defender. These Tsianim are Jews who are willing to perform tasks for free for the Jewish state. I don't know how extensive this network is. But Jews have to realize that Jews are cannon fodder for Israel. The real purpose of Israel isn't to provide a homeland for Jews. The real purpose of Israel is to provide a capital for this Masonic Jewish one world government, and as well as to provide it with this secret service, army, and nuclear strike force. And that's the real purpose of Israel, is to serve the Illuminati bankers who founded and funded Israel in the first place. And Jews are just cannon fodder who've been sacrificed for Israel, not the other way around, in the Holocaust and since. For example, I came across an interesting book that described how 7,000 Jews were actually drafted against their will to fight in the Israeli army in 1948. These were Holocaust survivors who managed to get through the Holocaust and then were forced to go to Israel and fight for Israel. Jews have always been cannon fodder for Israel and will always be cannon fodder for evil tyranny that they are bringing down upon humanity.
So, in a way, they are the chosen people of this, the banking cartel, the conspirators to enforce and make their agenda to come into fruition, become a reality, basically. That's an interesting point you mentioned there, Herny. But why? I mean, one thing that always comes up, obviously, is why this piece of land then? Do you think that that's religiously driven? Why do they want to be in the Middle East? Why do they need Palestine, Henry?
Well, I think it is religiously driven. The temple, rebuilding the temple, is one of their priorities. Rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem, which is now occupied by that Al-Aqsa Mosque. So I think they have a broad historical vision, as laid out in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy and Isaiah, which is the Jews ruling the world. But of course, it's not going to be the Jews. It's going to be the Kabbalistic bankers who will rule the world, and the Jews have always been tyrannized by their religious leaders. Tyrannized. Jews would be flogged. They'd be killed if they didn't obey their rabbis, and the rabbis would get the local Gentile noblemen, nobility, to carry out this punishment. And the Jews have always been essentially victims of their Jewish religion. Many of them may perceive that they're going to benefit from this new world order. They see things unfolding in a way that's very positive to them. They're being flattered to think that they're poor, persecuted people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and they're being promoted and so on. But it may not work out as
they planned. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That remains to be seen, obviously. What can we tie multiculturalism into this a bit as well, maybe, Henry? I've been looking at this from the point of view of trying to understand some of the conflicts that are happening in Israel, obviously, between Palestinians and Israelis. And what I've been able to see and tell as well is that other parts of the world, similar problems are now beginning to arise. It's almost like the racial tension, if you will, that have existed in the Middle East for a long time now, 60 years plus. Do you think that is being taken to other parts of the world as well? And if so, is that consciously done, do you think, Henry?
Well, Henrik, I think you've got it wrong. Israel is a very racially cohesive country. Every Jew has a right to come to Israel, even if he's never lived there, but no Palestinian is allowed to set foot in it. It's unless he's working or something, and unless he belongs to that minority of Palestinian Israelis. There's no intermarriage. It's a very racially cohesive. It's the most apartheid state in the world. And so what you have is a double standard. You've got racial and cultural cohesion for Israel, but for Europe, you've got mass immigration and multiculturalism, and for North America and Australia, it's the same story. Because essentially, the Illuminati bankers are trying to disinherit the European Christian people of European Christian background. The way they're doing it is by filling their countries up with people from other backgrounds, so that there's no coherent identity. And frankly, the leaders that are allowing this to happen are traitors. And frankly, the people of, in my opinion, they're incredibly stupid, European Christians, to allow this to happen, because it's not allowed to happen in Israel. Why should they allow it to happen in Europe or Australia or North America?
You're right. I want to talk a little bit about some of what you see as some of the detrimental effects then of multiculturalism, and then ask you a little bit if there's any, if you think positive sides to it. But how do you see this this unfolding, and who is behind this multiculturalism then? If there's massive immigration happening into Europe, North America, and other parts of the world as well, Is this only being done by the world, you know, the leaders of those countries who have a PC, a politically correct idea that, yeah, this is the nice thing to do? Or is there, does it go deeper than that, Henry? And if so, who is behind that, do you think?
You know, it's a nice thing to do for countries of European Christian origin, but they don't seem to demand it of Japan or China. You know, it's because, I mean, the countries of European Christian origin, those people are too stupid to realize they're being undermined and attacked. I mean, the whole nature of this conspiracy is that it is a continual, nonstop attack on these people, on these people who they wish to disinherit. The attack is going on all the time in different forms of weather manipulation, forms of financial manipulation, and in forms of migration, you know, of people who ever heard of people having, you know, being allowed to cross borders just like that? I mean, that's invasion. That's how the Jews got Palestine in the first place, by invasion, by migration. So, are there any positives? You know, I'm all for immigration. I'm an immigrant myself to Canada.
Mm.
But you can't. But you've got to keep it in proportion. You only bring in as many immigrants as you need. You don't bring in so many as to change the very nature of your society.
Right.
So that the dominant religion and race becomes a minority. I mean, that is just suicide. It's suicide. I can't believe that they allow that to happen in Europe and North America. I mean, I'm all for immigration. I've got nothing against people from other backgrounds, but that's not the issue here.
Exactly. By the way, you mentioned Japan, and I just want to run this by both you, Henry, and also our listeners, obviously, because there has been a little, now after this, you know, nuclear disaster, that this unfoldment here that is happening in Japan, there's been a number of institutes and globalist bodies that now have begun eyeing Japan and seeking, you know, basically to exploit this catastrophe over there. One report was from the Brookings Institute called Japan Can Rebuild on New Economic Foundations. And that one included calls for Japan to throw open its borders, allowing immigrants to solve their aging population dilemma. They wanted to reform its political system to undermine spending, you know, it goes on and on. There's other organizations involved in this as well. Obviously, the Council on Foreign Relations had some article in their magazine calling for similar things as well. So,
Henrik, it's obvious that Japan is coming in for the same treatment as North America,
right,
and Europe. And you know, the solution to a declining population is to get rid of feminism and make the calling of motherhood and being a wife and mother respectable and honorable once again, so that women will do what they were intended by nature to do, which is to have children, for Christ's sake. It's common sense that if you don't have children, you're going to die out.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, feminism is another social engineering psyop by these capitalist bankers in order to, you know, depopulate the target races. You know, only an idiot would promote feminism.
You have written extensively on that, obviously, and there's a lot of very, very interesting information about that on your website as well, obviously, in case people want to look further into that. What I'm seeing also from my point of view, Henry, is this idea of, just as you, I'm not against, you know, immigration, but what I am against is the lack of integration, meaning that there is not a cultural dialogue going on, neither from the political spectrum or from people on the street, if you will. Even actually WikiLeaks detailed a while back situation here in Sweden, that many of the local politicians around in my area said that the integration aspect was a debacle. It was basically a big fraud. So what they've done is that they let a lot of people in from Iraq and from other parts of the world as well.
But exactly. These people, in general, I talk to I talk to people here in Winnipeg who are from Ethiopia and Sudan and so on. They don't want to be here. They don't want to go through our cold, you know, winters.
Yeah.
They're here because of the turmoil in their homelands. The solution is you know, for places like Tunisia and Libya and Ivory Coast and so on to be allowed to, people should be allowed to make a life, to have a bit of financial security. They want to stay in their own countries and have their own countries. All this migration is basically part of the New World Order plan to destroy nations. Ultimately, nations are going to cease to exist.
Yeah.
Because they want to, as they say in the Protocols of Zion, which incidentally is authentic, we are going to undermine every collective force but our own. And these collective forces are nation, first and foremost, religion, family, and race. And that's what they're doing.
Mm.
You know, it's the whole conspiracy is totally explicit. But people seem to be resigned to a kind of servility.
Yeah. See, I think that I believe you're right, and that there's a kind of a digging up, if you will, of people's roots as well. And it seems to be kind of an erosion of culture happening as well. Now, what do you think would be the purpose of that? Or if I ask the question differently, what do you think happens to those kinds of people who all of a sudden then lack cultural identification, or they're cut off from their, you know, homeland, or they're kind of taken up by their roots, if you will, and put somewhere else? What do you think happens with those kinds of people, Henry?
Well, you know the kind of immigrants that we're getting in North America is kind of ironic. They have very strong family values. Muslims and Filipinos and so on, and to their credit, I mean, they're maintaining their values, and therefore they're going to thrive. And you know, I'm all for them maintaining their values, but I think countries like Sweden and Canada should put a quota. We're not going to have more than 20% of our population from other racial background and religious backgrounds. We want to retain our religious and racial character. There's nothing wrong with that. You wouldn't expect China or Ghana to have 50, 60, 70 million or 70% of their population all of a sudden be white. You wouldn't expect them to have that. So this is all part of this, you know, kind of mixing up, you know, this effect like a box of Smarties with people of all colors and just shake it up. The purpose of it is so that people will not have any basis to unite. And so the people will be divided against each other and not see who their common enemy is.
Yeah.
That's what the purpose is.
So in a way, what do you think will happen on the streets of many of these countries and cities that have, I mean, what I've been able to tell a little bit of is that there is a kind of an order out of chaos scenario, again, going back to that Masonic, motto, if you will, that this is about creating, first of all, then you let a lot of people in, and then, as I tried to point out, that you do not work with integration so that these cultures can actually understand each other and understand why they're there and how to work together and try to overcome certain of these things that will cause problems, because that's just the way it is. Everybody is not the same. They have different cultural values and therefore things will clash, right? But what seems to be the outcome of this then is kind of you get gangs, almost, if you will. You get small little pockets of different people in different parts of the city, and integration is not happening. And out of that, possibly, comes that idea of order out of chaos. And the more chaotic it is on the streets, Henry, the more the reason is for them to bring in their further control, the furthering of the police state, the furthering of cameras on the streets, and more police out there. What do you think of that? Is that possibly what they're going for here?
Yes, it's a kind of divide and rule thing, but you see a you know, increase in the power of anti-immigration power parties in Europe. And I think before it's too late, before Europeans are a minority in their own countries, they have to enact laws, to reverse this trend. But at the same time, I think I would extend a hand to immigrants because they are now citizens, and I think everyone has to work together to confront the common enemy, which is
right.
The central bankers.
Yeah, absolutely.
And their agenda, and their many agents who are generally put into power, and who run the mass media as well.
That's correct, and that's where a lot of these politically correct ideas are circulated as well. Of course, trying to point out to us that there is no difference between cultures. There's no difference between people, and to some extent, in some of these scientific reports, they're even trying to point out that there are actually no races. And I think that that's the wrong thing to do. I think that it's a wonderful, you know, planet with an incredible amount of diversity out there. And what I'm seeing in the mainstream press is that is trying to be, you know, eroded away with these politically correct ideas. What do you think, Henry, about that?
The real racist is the person that wants racists to disappear. They're the real race. That they're the enemy of race. They're the enemy of the minority. They're the enemy of the black and the Asian, because they want to intermarry, and then all the races will disappear. It'll all be, some kind of chocolate brown, and they're the enemies of race. The real person who loves other races is the one who wants to see it continue.
That's right. Who
wants to perpetuate it. And, you know, I'm a Jew, but I love Nordics. They're gorgeous. They're beautiful people, you know, and I don't want to see Nordics disappear. I love Muslims. I love their family values. That's the family of man, you know.
Mm.
The family of man is various races having various strengths and weaknesses, and we're all part of one big family. But the reason that isn't being encouraged is because, as they said in the Protocols of Zion, we're going to undermine every collective force but our own, and that's why they're doing it.
Yeah.
They're also undermining family by attacking gender. Not only are we going to have one world, one race, one satanic religion, we're also going to have one gender. There's not going to be male or female. That's why there's the satanic attack on gender that's taking place. I think we have to realize that we're under attack by Satanists. This is an occult attack. It's ancient, it's evil, and it's getting worse every day.
Mm.
And it's totally occult in nature.
And humanity is in the crosshairs here, Henry.
Absolutely. They basically want to prove that they can turn us into their little donkeys, and that we're corrupt, that we're venal, we're craven, and we're cowardly, and they're succeeding, and they basically want to take us away from God and make us serve their God, who is the devil, Lucifer. And this is deliberate. They are conscious Satanists. They engage in satanic rituals, including human sacrifice, the biggest of which is the wars they instigate.
That's right. That's a good point. We always think that this takes place in some, murky underground facility somewhere, in a temple or something. But you're absolutely right. It happens in broad daylight. It's being transmitted on TV, as it were. It's all the wars that are taking place out there. And furthermore, that's a good point about war as well, Henry, because obviously a lot of the, as you pointed out earlier, a lot of the immigration that is now happening is obviously consequently because of a lot of the Western powers that are engaged in wars in many of these countries. There is a reason why many of the Iraqis want to flee from their homeland, because it's being bombed to smithereens, right? So it's not their fault.
Oh, exactly. These people don't want to leave their homes. They want to stay in Iraq and so on. It's just that it's all, you know, we're suffering from a cancer. Humanity has this cancer where all the control systems have been invaded, and we're essentially being colonized by a satanic power of incredible sophistication and power. And, you know, frankly, I'm not very optimistic.
Mm. What do you think about the recent banning of the burqa and niqab in France? Before that, there was, I think it was the building of minarets that was not allowed in. I think it was Switzerland. Is this furthering the racial tensions? What do you think? Is this any good?
Well, it's a kind of contradiction. They're always preaching diversity, right?
Mm.
And now all of a sudden they're being extremely intolerant. I mean, you know, they preach diversity. They're basically trying to shut the barn door after the horse has left.
right.
The solution would be to keep immigration down to a level of about 20%. Period. So that 80% of Frenchmen are of the historic European Christian origin, and yeah, let's have 20%, 25% even minorities. This adds a lot of vitality and variety to life. But to, you know, and now they're, you know, in order to save their own hides, they're changing their policy. But frankly, I think it's wrong. I think when people should be allowed to wear their hijabs or whatever, maintain their own religious identity. I think that's really contradicts their own philosophy.
Yeah, because how can you, first you let people come in and say, welcome, here we go, but then you ban the way, you know, they want to live their life. If nothing else, that is going to create demonstrations, understandably. It's going to create anger and maybe even at the end of it, violence, because these people cannot live the way they want to live.
You know, the bottom line is that we have to look at the fact that it's this Illuminati Masonic. Illuminati means Masonic. The Illuminati is a secret society within Freemasonry. It's this Illuminati bankers who, you know, who've set out their agenda in the Protocols of Zion very clearly, set it out in the Illuminati papers of Weishaupt, and they're just carrying it out systematically without changing it. And they run the mass media, they own the politicians, and they run the education establishments. So our cultures are virtually their psyops. And it is they're bringing in the decline in morality, who brought it in, sexual liberation, which is very destructive to marriage and family, pornography, you know, mass migration. I mean, this is an agenda. It's a clear agenda, and we have to organize to oppose it. Mm. Yet there's been no organization, practically no organization, to oppose this agenda, even though it's explicit.
How do you see, or what do you see as some of the solutions then to some of these problems? Is this simply to unite with people who are of the same mind and can understand this agenda that you've been
describing? We're all terribly afraid because we're a terrible minority, because the vast majority of people have been brainwashed by the mass media and education, not realizing that this is what's been done to them.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, the small minority that's alert has to expose the traitors. The traitors in the mass media, were virtually almost everyone, traitors in government, and so on. We have to expose the traitors and proclaim the truth, because that's the only thing that will set us free.
Absolutely. So as we begin to round things up, Henry, for this time. I mean, you've been detailing this the hidden agenda for a long time, and there's obviously there's a lot of different elements incorporated into this as well, and a lot of different node points that are important to research, important to look at. But in terms of what we've been talking about here today, when it comes to specifically Zionism and multiculturalism, is there anything else you think is important to mention, or something that you want to let our listeners know about in terms of this particular series now that we're doing on these topics? What do you think, Henry?
Well, you know, for preparation for this interview, I reviewed a book called The Controversy of Zion by Douglas Reed. Have you heard of it?
Oh, yeah, I have, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's an excellent book. Douglas Reed, I think, died in, the 60s, but he was a witness to the events that transpired in between the world wars and afterward. He wrote this book in 1956, and he basically lays it out, and I really commend this book to your readers. Get that book and read it. I think he sets it out as clearly as anyone has.
All right, that is excellent. A little book recommendation, and I will link that up on the website as well. Controversy of Zionism by Douglas Reed. Henry,
Controversy of Zion.
Zion. Okay, got it. And Henry, you have a few books yourself out there. We want to mention your website, obviously, and plug that, because you have a lot of excellent writing up there. Things to follow along in. HenryMacau.com is the website. Tell us a little bit about some of the books that you have, Henry.
Well, my books are based on my writings on my website. There's Cruel Hoax, Feminism in the New World Order, which deals with feminism, homosexuality, and how heterosexuality works. So it's not just a critique. It actually explains how male-females were intended to interact and what is the nature of marriage. And then I have my first book, Illuminati, and my second book, Illuminati 2, which provide examples from history and current events, which shows how the Illuminati plan, which is essentially to enslave us mentally first and physically later, show how this is actually unfolding. So those are my three books, Cruel Hoax, Illuminati, and Illuminati 2.
All right, excellent. People can find more information about that on henrymacau.com. We will link this up on redicecreations.com as well, of course. Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Henry. It's been great talking to you. We appreciate your time and, of course, for sharing your perspective with us on these topics. So thank you very much, Henry.
Thank you, Henrik. And thanks for the good work you're doing as well.
If you listen to our previous program in this series with Adrian Silbucci all the way to the end, you know that we're doing something a little bit different here at the end. We're doing a music quiz. We are looking for a four-letter word. We have four programs to bring you, and we're playing four different songs at the end as the clue. So today is our second program, and hence our second clue. And if you think you know the answer, send us an email to redicecreations@gmail.com with the word you think we're looking for. We're giving away 4 3-month subscriptions to the first 4 correct answers that we get. We'll detail the results as soon as they come in, of course, on the website. Thank you for listening today. We'll be back shortly with more in this series. Keep an eye on redicecreations.com for the latest. Thank you for joining us. Talk to you soon.